This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is up, Dolph fans, and welcome to the fifth quarter postgame show on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network. The Dolphins Podcast Network is all here. From the Fish Tank, Seth Levin, OJ McDuffie. From Drive Time, I am Travis Wingfield. It is three straight losses for your Miami Dolphins. A third straight defeat, Juice, where they were right in it till the very end, and then it just kind of got away.
Yeah, it's been the theme with this team, right? It's been the theme right here. You know, you got a team that battles, and most coaches always talk about getting into the fourth quarter and finding a way to win. This team is not finding a way to win late in games, and that's important. That's bottom line. That's important right now. The NFL is not like college, you know. Most games do come down to the fourth quarter, and who wins the fourth quarter is usually the team that wins the football game. The Miami Dolphins are not finding those avenues and not finding ways to win late in games, man. And that's we always talk about the regular season. The regular season is they only remember what you do in December. Early in the season, they remember what you do in the fourth quarter. Our fourth quarters have been atrocious, and it's bad. A team that, you know, in a game that we dominate, but we get to the fourth quarter and we lay an egg. Can't lay an egg in the fourth quarter. I don't care. We talked about this a lot of times on this show, on all the things that we do. If a quarterback throws three interceptions in the first quarter, but throws you four touchdowns in the fourth, that's all that matters. Now, what's the difference between a team that does a great job in the first half, not scoring, but keeping other teams from scoring, but does nothing late in the game? Can't have that. You cannot have that. You got to be able to finish games. And the bottom line and the biggest point for this team right here is the inability to finish football games.
Not finishing games and really putting themselves into bad situations with mistakes, penalties, giveaways, down 3-0 in the turnover department once again in this game. And Big Seth, I mean, we saw an entire drive in that first half, that first quarter, go by the boards because of, was it five penalties for 36 yards, I think it was. Man. They got into field goal range three separate times in that drive, got themselves pushed back out. I guess I'll go to you here about 10 penalties, 97 yards, because that's kind of where the beginning of the mistakes
well,
to
me
start.
Five were on that one drive.
And I mean, it took points off the board.
It absolutely took points off the board, but it also, you know, and people say what they want to say about momentum, but Skylar Thompson did he look like a rookie on that drive? I mean, he was pinpoint accuracy, making great decisions. And every play that got killed with a penalty was 10, 15, 20-yard plays. River Craycraft is on the one-yard line. And you're, you know, and somebody's picking up a yellow flag, and they're marching backwards again. And it, they just never were the same again after that until late in the game. And I don't even want to call it too late, because to Juice's point, how you perform in the fourth quarter, this is three straight games, guys, where they have the ball and they're driving in a position to score, which will give them the lead in the fourth quarter, and they don't get it done, whether it's a missed kick, whether it's a turnover, and it's somebody different each time, but the result has been the same each time. And let's not forget, it took a miraculous comeback, an historic comeback against Baltimore in the fourth quarter, which everybody was feeling great, and you won that game, but when you start to add all of these up together, you know, that was down to the fourth quarter. The Buffalo game came down to the wire as well, and you end up on the right side of those. But do you start to say, man, maybe there's some things we need to be doing earlier in the game to not put ourselves in this position? Because now three straight games.
Yeah.
I understand there's been a carousel of quarterbacks and the health of the quarterbacks and all that. That is not easy. And some of that maybe is a contributing factor, but there's a lot of other things going on that are leading to this, and they need to get it figured out in a hurry.
And that's the point that I think really you drive home here, because it is the fourth straight game where they have to bring a second quarterback onto the field. Now, the first game of that was the Buffalo game when Tua came back out just a few plays after exiting before the first half. But four straight games now where you have to make a quarterback switch, and we talked about it last week, Juice. I mean, they go from Teddy on the first play, and how adamant was Coach McDaniel about the fact that he liked the way Teddy prepared, the team was fired up for his chance in that game, and then he pretty much came back and said the exact same thing about Skylar Thompson in this game, as the team made the decision early in the week, knowing they wouldn't have Tua nor Teddy Bridgewater available for practice, to put their game plan in place, knowing this is our quarterback. And they came out and they looked sharp, and then Teddy comes into the game and the offense bogs down completely before starting to pick things up there again late in the second half. So I guess my question to you, Juice, or the point I want to throw it to you here, is how difficult is it to try to go from one quarterback to another, because it seems like it's really taking its toll on this team?
It really shouldn't. It really, really, really should, especially when you got a veteran quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater coming in. I'm going to look. Teddy should have been better today than he was today. I don't care if Skyler is starting. Teddy should be the veteran guy, you know, like he should have been, you know, after Tua went out, when Teddy comes in. After Skyler comes out and Teddy comes in, a lot of situations I saw personally, it's just me, and I haven't looked at the all 22 like you're going to look at it. But when I look at the game, I saw Teddy squeezing the ball a little bit, leaving a pocket before he needed to, and you know, and making some decisions that a young guy would make. And that's disturbing to me for a guy that's so good. Teddy is really good, but making those type of decisions and in my opinion, mistakes, is detrimental to this team. Look, I get it. Sometimes guys aren't open. But don't make it worse, a worse situation by bailing, taking a sack, or, you know what I mean, or making a bad decision on a throw. Throw the damn ball away, and then we keep it moving from there. Today's been like, I mean, as much as I love Teddy, today I felt like Teddy, man, you had this opportunity no matter what. As a number two guy, you've been number two guy twice, and you sit there and you make these kind of young mistakes that a guy like Teddy Bridgewater shouldn't make. Teddy's better than that. I'm not putting this game on Teddy. We didn't move the ball at all. Defense had a great game early, ran out of gas late. But at the same time, though, man, we had opportunities that, you know, most teams don't get. You know, most teams don't get these opportunities. When your defense is playing that well, yep, you got the rest of your everybody else, you know, in tow. Everybody's ready to go, but you got to make better decisions at that one position that's more critical than any position in sports. And I thought Teddy didn't have that. He didn't have it in him today, and that's unfortunate.
And they got it cranking there late. Well, you guys mentioned the box score was pretty impressive there towards the end of it. I don't have it in front of me, but I know that he wound up throwing for a whole bunch of yards.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle both had a bunch of yards too. But speaking of mistakes, I mean, you know, Jaylen Waddle has
tough game for Waddle.
Ends the game with 6 for 129, which is obviously a hell of a stat line for the fantasy guys out there. But you look back at a pass that's off the shoulder pad that gets deflected into the air and winds up being a pick that directly leads to 3 points for the Vikings, a fumble on potentially a game-winning drive. I mean, what was the situation there? They were getting pretty close to knocking that thing in.
They were driving down. This is what I'm saying. It's an opportunity to go ahead.
I agree.
At the 33-yard line, that's where the fumble occurred. They're going to have a a first and 10 with
great
4 minutes to go.
Great throw and catch. He makes some moves, tries to pick up some extra yards. And I don't know. Did anybody get a hand on it? It seemed like it just kind of came out there, Juice.
It looks like it kind of hit his side when he was running, and it kind of tucked up against his side and popped out, which cannot happen. So that's how it ends for Jalen Waddle. Tyreek Hill carries the offense to the tune of 12 for 177. And I mentioned this in the podcast this week. I was looking for a third target to emerge. Boy, Mike Gesicki, 6 for 69 and 2 touchdowns, and one of the best touchdown celebrations I've ever seen in my entire life. So, I mean, the passing game did come to life
there
late.
That's questionable.
But there's just so many things you look back at. That it's you lose by 8 points in the end, but, man, you guys talked about the penalties. You talk about the quarterback, kind of topsy-turvy back and forth and kind of the carousel with that, but also the mistakes that he made and the position made in general. But, I mean, the end of the first half, the management of that, Seth, I know you were wondering why there wasn't a timeout after the Landon Roberts sack.
I thought after that sack there was a minute and 40 or so on the clock there. If you call a timeout there and then – wherever they got him down on second down, you call a timeout again. They probably would get the ball back with a minute left. I figured they were going to take a knee, Juice.
That's
you catch
thing.
That punt with 35 seconds left. I thought they were going to take a knee. That's a three-point decision based on the result. Now, we're playing the result.
Right.
But because of those decisions or a decision not to call timeout, now all of a sudden you're trying to push the ball 75 yards down the field with 30-something seconds to go. And what happens? There's a mistake. Now, it was a good throw by Teddy. Waddle has it in his hands. He bobbles it. It's not something you expect from him. But ultimately, it's just when you're playing percentages like that, I was like, wow, what are we doing? I thought we made a decision to take a knee here. So just a lot of things. It was really
But here's,
what do you use? Cavalcade of errors? I mean, I'll pull that word back.
Yeah, but you don't count on that bobble and interception, though. I mean, the balls, we're an aggressive team now, no? I mean.
Right. So to me, why don't you call a timeout there and give your offense more time?
Right.
I don't know. That's what I don't understand. And I'd like to hear the answer. And, look. They made some decisions there and they've got to live with them, but you just can't continue to – you can't make that many mistakes early on and then expect that you're just going to figure it out in the fourth quarter because there's just not enough plays. There's not enough time. And it's come back to bite them in the behind 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, there are a lot of things.
It's the two decisions side by side, they just don't make sense, right? Because like you said, Seth, like either you're going to the halftime, going to the break, let's go ahead and regroup and go down. Was it 7-3 at that time? Go in down by 4 points,
correct.
Get the ball at the half and see if we can make it work. But then you do get aggressive and you have to be almost perfect to that point to make a drive that winds up in points. And if you make a mistake like you did, you can go back the other way. So it happens there for Miami. We saw injuries. I mean, that was Noah Igbinoghene's first snap on the field, the DPI on Adam Thielen. I thought Igbinoghene played really well in place of Nick Needham, who looks like he's going to be out for a little bit. Keon Crossan also leaves this game and does not come back. So I guess, one of my gripes is this is the third 3-0 start that the Dolphins have had going back to 2013. And each time they've come out of it 3-3. It's a rough way to do it to get the fan base fired up.
That's why I like to get out ahead of myself.
And they certainly did, and it didn't work out this time through the first six games, 3-3. But hopefully week 7, like I said, the upside is Tua sounds like he'll come back. Maybe Teron Armstead, maybe Austin Jackson, maybe Byron Jones. I don't know about that. We'll see what the Dolphins' health situation looks like next week.
I know we got to go to break, so we'll talk about it on the other
side. We'll come
back
on the other side, Juice. Yeah. It's a banged-up Dolphins team right now. They fall to the Minnesota Vikings 24-16 to fall to 3-3. Dolphins post-game driven by Gunther Motors. You've got to get to Gunther Kia in Fort Lauderdale on 441 just north of I-595, or visit GuntherKia.com for car buying done your way. You've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Vikings 24, Dolphins 16. You're listening to the Fifth Quarter Postgame Show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out South Florida's ultimate entertainment destination with world-class shows at Hard Rock Live, award-winning dining at Suppresso and Council Oak, and much, much more only at Seminole Hard Rock Hollywood. So the third straight loss means no game balls today. We miss giving those game balls out after victories, but we do have a key player of the game. Let's go ahead and get to that key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. When you buy from Morse, you're backed by Morse with the price protection promise from Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall. Early on in this game, guys, especially if they had won with the way the game was flowing early, I was going to go towards Jalen Phillips. But what other direction can you go right here than 12 catches, 177 yards, and Tyreek Hill juice? I think I told you before the game ended, that play he made where he caught it in space and then kind of did a step backwards and took back off for 28 yards. I was thinking about you in that moment because you always talked about how like long speed wasn't your game, the quickness. Like you could get open and make the possession catches and stuff, but every time I watch Tyreek play, I think about you because I just imagine your game with that speed.
Dude, he's unbelievable. And honestly, you know, being up in the alumni suite today, it was amazing how many guys that I played with never seen anybody be able to do something like that. It's unbelievable how he can catch and go from 0 to 100 within 2 steps. Tyreek, man, he does everything he can every single week, every single game, to give us the best possible chance to win a football game. And I'm going to tell you this, man. I have the utmost respect and admiration for Tyreek Hill. What a blessing we do would have him, because otherwise, where would we be? Where would we be if he wasn't on our roster right now? If we didn't have Tyreek Hill, where would we be as a team on our roster, man? Look, we've seen him come in and out of games. We've seen, you know, how he's bounced back from injuries. We've seen him bounce back from cramps. But bottom line is this. He gives us a chance, a fighter's chance every single week to win a football game. And it's unfortunate that his efforts lately, have been moot, because we haven't been able to capitalize on some of the things he's been doing, some of the great things he's been doing on the field, and go out there and win football games, man. But Tyreek Hill is, he's what you want to have as a teammate, as a player, as everything you want when it comes to football, man. So it's sad for me because I love my wideouts. I love when they go out there and they give it all, their all, and we come up short.
Yeah, I think, Seth, you had mentioned something about the stats he put up and where he's at in the league right now. I was looking at my just –
he's got 700 yards receiving in six games.
And it's – putting the offense on your back type of stuff too.
Yeah, and 300-yard games this year, and they're not like 101 yards receiving. He had the 190-yard 160, now 177 today. I mean, the guy's just consistently putting up big numbers, and they're not just garbage numbers, Juice, to your point. I mean, he's making big plays when you need it to happen. We all were like, are you kidding me? Another guy's going into the tunnel, and they announced that it was cramps, which I think is his third game having cramps and having to deal with whatever he's having to deal with there, getting rehydrated. So I don't know if that's something they can get out in front of, but golly,
he's super muscular, bro. Muscular guys that run a lot, they're going to cramp a lot. It's unfortunate.
There was a photo of him at practice this week where I don't want to get too weird here, but the short had come way up the quad, and the veins popping off the muscles in his legs. The way he's built is
– I already told you guys, I'm overweight by my BMI. You know what I mean? So his BMI has got to be way low, and that's a problem when it comes to guys that are built like that, Big Seth. You know what I mean? It's like you need a little bit of – I need a little chunk in the chunk in order to counter these cramps, man. You know what I mean?
I guess that's
it is. He's probably sitting – that's like 4%. 4% is not good down here, you know?
And they got to get out in front of it, but he is because he just can't afford to not have him on the field.
Yeah.
But man, we've been around places where a guy, highest paid receiver in the NFL, you see guys get the big paycheck and they all of a sudden aren't the same guy that they were that got them that paycheck. You see guys get traded and come in and now they're being treated differently because he goes from being one of many parts in another team to becoming the guy here, and they start to handle themselves differently. That's not happening with Tyreek Hill. He's everything you could have asked for and more. I hope, to your point, that everybody else can start to raise their game even more. And I don't know if anybody can get up to Tyreek's level, but if everybody can at least raise the level of their play.
We know that.
If they can raise the level of their play get results that match his output, then I think that we'll be having a better postgame show.
You talk about the raw physical traits. I mean, it's very obvious in the way he catches the ball and takes off, but I mean –
That's that want
the
to way, though,
That's the dog in him, right? That's what you keep talking about. Because there was a series there, and I tweeted out, Vikings go up 16-3. Feels like a pretty commanding lead at this point of the game when the offense couldn't do a dang thing. And all of a sudden, you get a 28-yard pass to Tyreek Hill to get things going, and then they wind up scoring a touchdown on that drive. Then you come back on the next drive in the first place, 25 yards more to Tyreek Hill. Then, the fourth down call that we were like, fourth and five on your own side of the field. You don't get this here. That's pretty much the game, because the Vikings can get one first down, kick a field goal, and put you down by two scores. And we're like, the way the defense is playing, maybe you back them up.
Right.
But I guess, Juice, when you've got number 10 who can go for 10 yards on a fourth and five like that, maybe that's why you make that call, why you have the confidence to make that call. And he sure, Teddy had to get out of the pocket again when the protection broke down
Which is a whole other segment.
Yeah, that is a whole segment. That's why I kind of had that chuckle there for you. But it's just the way he takes over games, it's special, man.
Yeah, it really is, man. Tyreek Hill is unstoppable.
That's a good way to put it.
He's unstoppable. Unless you put 3-4 guys on him, and even then, 2 guys on him, he's got a chance. 3 guys, hopefully somebody else wins their one-on-one the other way. But Tyreek, he's an unbelievable weapon. And it's like, the way he works is like so much fun to watch, but at the same time, though, man, every single team we play against, their eyes are all – if you look at the Dolphins, you look at the 11 guys that we have, lined up on offense every time, how many eyes do they have on Tyreek Hill? Oh, there's a lot
of them.
There's a lot of eyes. There's
11
a lot
times
of eyes.
2 plus 2
yeah,
coaches. Whatever,
yeah, do the math. Carry the 1, Big Seth. There's a lot of eyes. There's a lot of eyes that are going to be on Tyreek Hill. And so for Tyreek to still be able to do what he does with all the attention he's getting, that tells you how special he is, man. And not only that, we've had games where he's been the decoy. We call him Wooden Ducks, the Wooden Duck guy. And other guys that get their opportunities to do what they do. But at some point, like now, in some of these games, we need Tyreek to make plays. We don't need him to be that Wooden Duck, because other guys are not making the plays that we need them to make when they get the opportunities, man.
Here's a question I have for you, Juice, because, now he was productive pretty much throughout the entire day. But as you said, when Teddy came in, the offense, it was scary to see how ineffective the offense was for quite a while. Until the end of the game there, all of a sudden they start moving the ball up and down the field. You have 400 yards passing. How much of that is the defense doing something differently to allow that? Or, like you don't just wake up. What happens to change? Why are you so ineffective early on? And then all of a sudden you can move the ball up and down the field and it's too late.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a great – you know, of course, when you're up a couple or a couple scores, whatever, defense is going to be a little different. But at the same time, though, you know, it's amazing. Like, we talked about this before. Coming into this game, we were wondering what type of game plan they'd have specifically for Skyler. We talked about how the game plan last week was specifically for Teddy.
Yeah.
And it's Skyler had to come in and handle it, you know. So, now – could Teddy handle Skyler's game plan? He probably should be able to handle that.
I would hope so.
And, you know, so not much should have changed when it comes to
– it's not like when Tim Tebow was playing and all of a sudden it was like an entirely different offense because you put a fullback in a quarterback. I mean, they're all kind of lining up and running the same darn plays, aren't they? Whatever coach said, 120-something plays. And I get that certain things are different and Tua might do something where you're rolling to the left, but – is it that dramatically different where it's going to take us 2.5 quarters to get it figured out?
Between these two, probably not. Between Tua and Teddy or Tua and Skyler is different.
Well, we're definitely seeing that.
And I could have seen it last week.
Should be different.
Last week made sense because you went from Teddy, who's played a billion years in this league, to, you know, Skyler, who had never seen an NFL snap. I got that. But this week, the converse of that, like you said, Juice, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. And honestly, from what I saw, which I love being here in person and seeing the field, I think that we had some opportunities out there that we left. We left some meat on the bone today again. Defense played a hell of a game most of the game. But at the same time, though, when is the offense going to, you know, kick in the gear and do their part? And that didn't happen until too late. So the defense did a hell of a job against a team offensively that's one of the best in the league. They did an incredible job today.
It's frustrating, man.
Everybody should be frustrated for this team. And, you know, and bottom line is this, man. Do your job, make your plays, and then we're a successful football team. We talked about, you said it, Big Seth, and I don't know when we're getting to this point. Up front, they need to figure this out because it's absolutely ridiculous.
It was bad.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, they get hopefully Jackson and Armstead back next week. That's what you got to hope.
That's the hope. That's the hope.
Well, you hope that we got guys that should be able to step in there and not be a turn game.
Well, we got what we got.
That's not on – what?
I'm saying you could say you hope what you hope, but you saw what the result was.
Well, I get that, but we should have a better situation in backups that it's not that big a drop-off ever in this league. It should never be this big a drop-off.
It's gone from where we thought the offensive line was repaired at a certain point to where it's like I saw tweets about back to last year again, which obviously was a less than ideal situation for the offense, but it was an ideal day for Tyreek Hill to put up 12 catches for 177 yards on just 15 targets, 11.8 yards of his targets. Every time you got a target, 11.8 yards was the result for Tyreek Hill today. So that was your key player of the game, sponsored by Ed Morse. All the latest GM models are right here at the Ed Morse Sawgrass Auto Mall, and they're all backed by Ed Morse. And then to finish up that last point there, defense had 4 3 and outs to start this game, and then 2 more to start the second half, both of those with the Vikings in plus territory. We're going to have audio from head coach Mike McDaniel when we come back on the other side. Dolphins postgame is driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Vikings 24, Dolphins 16. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
This is the official Miami Dolphins Radio Network, where Dolphins fans live.
Dolphins recap tomorrow morning with Joe Rosen, Zach Krantz, AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Make more good in the all-new Sportage X Pro with multi-terrain all-wheel drive and available 360-degree sound view monitor. No mission is too small to take on. Let's go ahead and throw it to the podium right now for head coach Mike McDaniel.
You know, when I watch the film, I'm anticipating people or players potentially doing too much. And, you know, that which is common, very common thing, when you lose a couple games in a row, you start to press. So I was very, very happy with the way we prepared. I think guys were ready to play. And then a lot of stuff happened, which is the nature of football. So then I also look at the end of the game where we took a step forward in our resolve and how guys tried to finish the game when, you know, it's a very, very frustrating process when you feel like you're ready to play and you don't get the direct results. So I see it as you know, it hurts. It hurts the locker room. It hurts a lot of people. But it's also, it can be a step in the direction we want to go if we use it appropriately. So I was surprised. I think we've been, you know, last week we were up in the numbers and penalties. We'd started the season off pretty good in that regard, and they kind of piled up. Definitely hurt us. Turnovers hurt us. And, you know, overall, the tightness of the ship, which, you know, that's what the head coach is there for. So you take that square in the eyes, and you let the guys know that you're going to bring a better effort next week.
Mike, how tough is it when the third straight week the quarterback prepared most with the ones is out of the game, all three cases for you? How tough is that on the quarterback coming in? How tough is that on the offense? And just for, you know, things to smoothly run?
Yeah, all of it, I guess, is, you know, you can look at it as difficult. You can look at it as a reason for X, Y, or Z. I challenge the guys not to. We have a lot of faith in all the players that we have on this team, and the quarterbacks that we have that we've been working with since last April. Any one of them, we have high expectations to go, you know, execute and succeed. Now, of course, it's not ideal. You know, you want the guys that get all the reps during the week to play, but you always know that that's a possibility. I'm going to demand that the team does not point at that to be a reason for you know, what's happened or reason for the loss. I think that's the easy thing to do. I think that's the path of least resistance. And generally, the path of least resistance doesn't lend the results that ambitious, convicted, all-in players, team, organization want. So, there's always difficulties and adversity within NFL football games. I thought we had the capability to overcome that, and we didn't.
You saw Skyler go out with a thumb injury and then came back on the sideline, but Teddy stayed in the game. Was Skyler able to come back into the game and play, or did you just make that decision?
No, he wouldn't have been physically capable to come back in, so it was not any indication or decision based upon his play. I would have definitely stayed with him had he been able to proceed, but he was not. You know, it's a little early to tell. I know he was the biggest issue was that he wouldn't have been able to. He didn't have any strength holding the ball, so which is an issue when you're trying to throw it. So he, you know, I'll have to get a lot more information tomorrow. You don't know with those type of things. I literally have no idea if it's anything that's going to be an issue for a while or if it's something that will heal pretty quick. We'll see it. We'll get more information on Monday.
Mike, you mentioned last week that, you know, part of the reason why Skyler had a tough time was not taking the starter reps and not working with the first team. How much of a problem was that today for Teddy, having just cleared concussion protocol on Saturday?
I think the obvious answer is that it does make it more difficult. But I don't think Teddy nor any, you know, my expectation, I know Teddy won't, and my expectation for the team is that you don't take that easy out. But you don't say, well, shoot, man, we're getting – it's hard for us. It's hard for everybody. So definitely not the ideal set of circumstances. You don't – it is unique to my NFL career with regard to the things that have happened probably in the last 3 weeks. Does that mean that we're, because of that, we're unable to win the football game? It does not. And I think the tape will be obvious to all the players. The hard part is when you you invest. Like I said, I was really pumped about the work week we had, and you don't get the desired results. So you get to find out a lot about who you're working with. And by every indication that I've had since I've been in the building, I don't have anything to worry about how players are. How the organization, how staff, how the coaching staff, how people are going to respond, we will find out. It's the great thing about the game of football. It checks you. There's nowhere to hide, and you work really hard. And as a team, we fall short. It's one of my favorite things about football, is that. It's not for everybody, and this is difficult. But so, we've had three games in a row where we've finished a game with a different quarterback than we started with, and I don't think anybody has the mindset that, well, that's the reason why we're losing. We're fully capable of winning this game. I think that's obvious to everybody, and so you. It's a simple, simple formula. You look at the tape, you don't hide from it, and then you move forward and try to use the learning experience to get better in the middle stretch of the season, pushing forward to the end.
Were Toronto
or
Austin close at all to playing today?
They've really done everything in their power. It's one really cool thing that I've learned about both of those two players is how much they love to play the game. And this was a circumstance where we came to a decision with both of them that it was in their best interest not to try to push through to go ahead and go with the guys that we went with, which our team was confident in.
Defense did force a lot of three and outs, but no takeaways again. Losing the turnover battle 3-0, obviously difficult to win a game that way. Your assessment of what could be done better?
No, I think, as a team, we need to play better complementary football. We really do. And utilize momentum. I think the defense took a step in the right direction for sure this week. But the number one indicator in winning wins and losses has been and forever always will be turnovers. So when you're minus three, you got to be pretty epic in other ways to try to come out on top. And we just didn't have that really in our game this week. We got to continue to stress it because, it happens to a lot of teams. Almost every team during a season, you go through a lull of turnovers, whether it's getting them or giving them up. And, sometimes it snowballs into 2-3 games. But what you don't do is deviate from the points of emphasis just because you haven't gotten the results. You keep trying new things. I'll be, doing my best with the coaching staff to try to problem solve that. But, if you're trying to win more than you lose in this league, you better be on the plus side, and that's just a fact. I don't really. It would be a little too early to say. I know Nick was in pain. It felt real, but they got a. I'm not quite sure if it was it was either a higher ankle or Achilles. I know that. just by being on the field with him. And I haven't. He'll get updated on that. I'll get you guys an update on him specifically tomorrow. And Keon, believe it was a knee. And that definitely needs some more information before I'm comfortable speaking on that one. Jalen, he went back into the game. I level of concern. It's one of those things that I've learned about Jalen, that if it's if there's a will, there's a way. He is a tough kid, a real tough kid. He really didn't give anyone an option whether or not to be in there at the end. He was pretty hard on himself and with that last fumble. So I'm not if he is I'm not terribly concerned, because if it's a legit, maybe AC joint, which my non-medical expertise would have guessed, I don't really have information on that yet. But regardless of whatever it is, I know he'll be back sooner than later. And we have plenty of players on this football team that if he is gone for a week or two, there'll be no batting of an eye in confidence. Those aren't the things that are keeping us from where we're trying to go. It's stuff that we can figure out within ourselves, and that's all I'm going to be focusing on.
What was the risk
of
that went into thinking
of
going for points at the end of the first half?
The thinking really is a lot of stuff that when I'm making those decisions, it's based upon the whole team and where we're at. And I wanted to, there's been some stuff that, whether it's true or not true, it feels on the field when you're getting a slew of penalties. It feels like it's out of your control. It always is in your control, but it feels, and knowing how the defense was playing, I think it was, we had the opportunity to get the ball back after halftime, so I saw it as a time that would really benefit the whole team if we could go get those points. They always do that based upon what's the best for the team, fully knowing that it is result-based, great calls if it works and terrible calls if it doesn't. But I think at that point in the game, it would have best served us to have a little momentum going into halftime, and I'll always make the decision if that's the case.
There is head coach Mike McDaniel at his post-game press conference. We'll come back on the other side and react to Mike McDaniel. Dolphins post-game driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Vikings 24, Dolphins 16. You're listening to the fifth quarter post-game show brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you with the Chevron app. We heard from head coach Mike McDaniel in that previous segment, and that means you know what's coming up next. Seth, let's go back on that.
I don't know where you're
Big
going
Seth,
with it.
Yeah. Our press conference consigliere, start that whole sentence over. Let's go ahead and go to you here, man. What did you take away from Mike McDaniel there postgame?
A lot to unpack there. Yep. He talked about how pumped he was about the week in practice, right? So that's, Juice, we've talked about that, I think, last year during that 7-week skid. And so, you have this great week of practice, thought guys were ready to play, and then you see all of these things that are essentially a formula for losing football, with penalties, turnovers, and so on. And he basically said there was a lack of tightness in the ship, and that's what your head coach is there for. So he put it on his shoulders. He said it's looking you square in the face. Coach McDaniel put it on his shoulder, so we're going to see how a rookie head coach reacts to these things as they're on this three-game skid, which, by the way, I think with a talented football team, guys.
Yeah.
This is a talented football team that's on this three-game skid. Obvious questions by the media to talk about what kind of an impact Tua not being there, and then, as Coach McDaniel said, last three games you have finished the game with a different quarterback than you started with, and he refused to allow that to be an excuse.
Correct.
He said that is not the reason. Did it have an impact on the game? Sure, it had an impact on the game, but it's not why you lost these three games. He's like, so what? And I think he's right there. I don't disagree at all. Yes, it impacted the game, but I keep going back. I've said it three straight weeks here, guys. I know you're sick of me saying it, but in the fourth quarter, midway to late in the fourth quarter of games in three straight weeks, you're driving with the football with an opportunity to go ahead in the fourth quarter of games. So regardless of what happened with quarterbacks or anything, they're in positions to take the lead in the fourth quarter, and they have fallen apart each time. He's put that on his shoulders. He said he's going to demand that this team does not point to Tua or injuries as being the reason that we lost. Good on you, coach, for that. I agree wholeheartedly. And he also said that this is a team that has the capability to overcome adversity. He believed it. This game, they had the opportunity to overcome adversity, but they didn't do it. And that's what they definitely need to get figured out, because they're going to be faced with adversity again, guys. Let's face it. This is not a team that's going to be blowing people out by 30 points going into the fourth quarter every week. Heck, two of their three wins where, you know, they had to win in the fourth quarter. So absolutely need to figure that out. And really my favorite line, and I think it's no truer words have ever been spoken, Juice, we're going to find a lot out about who we're working with here.
Yeah, they really are, man. It's look, you lose three straight after winning three straight. You know, my old high school coach used to say, you know, we're reading our own press clippings. I think we're feeling good about ourselves, a little too good about ourselves.
I sure as hell was.
I was too.
Yes,
we can do that as fans. We're allowed to do that, but as players, we can't do that.
Yeah,
it's really cliche-ish, but at the same time, though, you really got to get to 1-0 every single week. I tell my high school team that when I talk to them, you know, I was hoping the Dolphins would get me out of this doldrum that I had. My high school team lost on Friday. Penn State lost on Saturday. I knew my Dolphins would win today. It's a bad weekend for me when it comes to football, fellas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you are definitely bringing the saltiness here, and I don't blame you.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Are you not salty?
I'm salty as hell.
Okay, so why is that offensive?
I'm always salty, though.
You're not always
when
salty.
When I lose a draw, I'm salty.
That's not fair.
But like I said,
but you're salty now.
Yeah.
But I think we all are.
You have to, no matter what, man, you have to show up and go to work. And our guys, man, had opportunities like we talked about. Two, three losses we've had, we've been in every single fourth quarter we've been in these games. Every single fourth quarter we've had an opportunity, and we come up short. So what's our big takeaway from that? We got to find a way to finish.
Finish games, yeah.
Got to find a way to finish games, and we're not finding our way to finish games. And it's got to come somewhere from somebody, whether it's offense picking it up and closing the game out, defense closing the game out, or somebody on teams doing something. We have to find a way to finish these games, because when you're in the fourth quarter, every team preaches about being in the game in the fourth quarter and giving yourself a chance to win. And we've done that. Now, when are we going to find out? When are we going to win these games? When are we going to win these games? Like, look,
next week
we can go back to Baltimore. We put all those touchdowns up. Look, that's another way. We found a way to win that game. That against the incredible odds. We won that game. New England, we didn't have to worry about it as much in New England game. You know what I mean? So we got to find a way to finish these games. When we're in these games, especially at home, I hate losing at home. So we got to find a way to win these games.
So I agree with that wholeheartedly, Juice, but I want to add to that and say this. I remember going all the way back to the Dave Wannstedt coach Miami Dolphins, and Mark Dixon used to say, you know, it's the same speech every week. Coach gets in there and he says, we're going to have to win it in the fourth quarter. Defense, you're going to keep us in the game. We're going to find a way to win in the fourth quarter. And he says, dang it, coach, I kind of want to say we're going to come out there and kick somebody's ass today.
Yeah.
And yes, we need to finish games. 100% we need to finish games. But you know, I'm looking at this play-by-play in the first quarter and this drive where Skylar Thompson looks like you have the deal of the century finding a guy in the seventh round, and you get penalty after penalty, five penalties on one drive. When you get the ball on their side of the field, you come away with 0 points when you have a chance to go up 7-0.
Yeah.
At home, to your point, so there's a lot going on. We were really good from 30-yard line to 30-yard line today, Travis. There's a lot going on early in the game where it shouldn't even come down to the fourth quarter, Drew. So I'm with you. If it gets there, you got to find a way to finish and win. But maybe we could clean things up a little bit and not have to get to that point.
And in the start of the third quarter as well, it goes back to what McDaniel said about complimentary football. I mean, I was keeping track of it, Big Seth. Four drives, 15 yards for the Vikings. They didn't have a first down through the first four
drives
of the game.
Three and out the first two drives, so 4 15 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It was four in a row. It was four drives in a row. And then the second half, they started on two short fields because of a 25-yard punt return and a failed fake punt by the Miami Dolphins. So the defense gave you, at the start of the first start of the game, four consecutive three and outs, and then the start of the second half, two consecutive three and outs in a short field. The offense has to make up ground in 100%. That part of the game. So it's a four-quarter thing. It's just, and to be in it late is great, and like Drew said, to find a way to win would be even better, but man, it's something else every single week, it seems like, and to use the word that you love, Big Seth, a cavalcade of things you can point to correct and get better for next week.
Right,
that's
there,
the mayonnaise
man.
Type word. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins, powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
We have the final segment of hour number one coming up next, including Teddy Bridgewater and Drive of the Game. All that's coming up here in just a few minutes. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Vikings 24, Dolphins 16. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. I like it when Juice does that one better. It sounds a little bit better to me when O.J. McDuffie's reading the ad read there. But guys, we've been talking a lot about some stuff that hasn't been so fun. I want to go ahead and spin to something positive here because, like we talked about, it's been a rough start to the year for the defense, and we saw a pretty high-powered Vikings attack with Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, and you know, at times Kirk Cousins as well, who post big numbers every single week, come down here and just really get stifled for the most part, you know, outside of a few short fields and takeaways, and you know, I think there was a hurry-up drive late in the first half where they scored a touchdown, capitalizing on some Dolphins mistakes on the offensive side of the football. But I think it's something to potentially be excited about, aside from the return of some of the key guys, because, you know, I mentioned the 6-3 and outs. I think they had another one. If not, it was a couple of first downs after the Dolphins' touchdown to make it a 6-point game. Defense gets right back out there, gets another stop, and again, those short fields were impressive. Two things I want to talk to you guys about and just kind of get your takes on them. Number one, Juice, literally the play before Needham got hurt. And by the way, without Nick Needham and Keon Crossan, you have to go. Justin Bethel's playing defense. I'm going to look it up. I don't think he's played defense in years.
I don't know, but he was game-ball worthy if they had come out with this, you know, the way he fielded those punts and everything else. Sorry, I don't want to give away
your
point.
No, you're good. I'm glad you did, because he made a huge – that was the play that I was talking about after the Dolphins' touchdown drive to make it a 6-point game. He gets a huge tackle on a third and one on a little try-to-pick route to the flat where he comes over the top and makes a tackle. So I thought he was good. I thought X, except for the one time that he got pinned – on that little wheel route from Justin Jefferson, was very good as well. And just the way they were communicating, you know, dealing with some of the bracket coverage and the bunches was really impressive. But the thing that really stood out to me in this game, obviously the run defense before the long touchdown run, but man, the pass rush. We've been asking for it for a while now. Yep. They got heated up today, guys. I don't know if you have a specific player in mind that comes to mind for you, but someone else want to just talk about the pass rush here, because I got several guys I could talk about.
Yeah, it was definitely a special day for those guys, man. They've been beat up. You know, we talked a lot about the lack thereof of a pass rush, and the guys got at them. And look, I mean, look at the numbers, man. You got a team that's been so prolific, and they end up with 156 yards net passing, and a lot of it has to do with pressure. You know, a lot of it has to do with pressure. We need that moving forward. We've got a quarterback today, though. We talked about this before. The quarterbacks we faced before were all guys that can get out and run and things like that. Kirk Cousins is not that guy.
He wasn't going anywhere,
was he? That guy. So it's good that we finally got at somebody. Now, not a lot of big plays for them offensively on the pass game, but they didn't have to because the offense, our offense, our team gave them the opportunities to make those plays in short fields, turnovers, and on downs, fake punts, and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice to see these guys.
Miami Dolphins football is on the air on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
Tomorrow afternoon, Hawk and Crowder are talking Dolphins. AM 560 Sports, WQAM.
Unbeatable fans like you deserve unbeatable mileage, so next time you fill up, choose Chevron with Techron. Find a station near you with the Chevron app. We heard from head coach Mike McDaniel in that previous segment, and that means you know what's coming up next. Seth, our big... Whoa, let's go back on that.
I don't know where you're
Big
going
Seth,
with it.
Yeah. Our press conference consigliere, start that whole sentence over. Let's go ahead and go to you here, man. What did you take away from Mike McDaniel there postgame?
A lot to unpack there. Yep. He talked about how pumped he was about the week in practice, right? So that's, you know, Juice, we've talked about that, I think, last year during that 7-week skid. And so, you know, you have this great week of practice, thought guys were ready to play, and then you see all of these things that are essentially a formula for losing football with penalties, turnovers, and so on. And he basically said there was a lack of tightness in the ship, and that's what your head coach is there for. So he put it on his shoulders. He said it's looking you square in the face. Coach McDaniel put it on his shoulders. So we're going to see how a rookie head coach reacts to these things as they're on this 3-game skid, which, by the way, I think with a talented football team, guys.
Yeah.
This is a talented football team that's on this 3-game skid. Obvious questions by the media to talk about what kind of an impact Tua not being there, and then, as Coach McDaniel said, last 3 games you have finished the game with a different quarterback than you started with, and he refused to allow that to be an excuse.
Correct.
He said that is not the reason. Did it have an impact on the game? Sure, it had an impact on the game, but it's not why you lost these 3 games. He's like, so what? And I think he's right there. I don't disagree at all. Yes, it impacted the game, but I keep going back. I've said it 3 straight weeks here, guys. I know you're sick of me saying it, but in the fourth quarter, midway to late in the fourth quarter of games in 3 straight weeks, you're driving with the football with an opportunity to go ahead in the fourth quarter of games. So regardless of what happened with quarterbacks or anything, they're in positions to take the lead in the fourth quarter, and they have fallen apart each time. He's put that on his shoulders. He said he's going to demand that this team does not point to Tua or injuries as being the reason that we lost. Good on you, coach, for that. I agree wholeheartedly. And he also said that this is a team that has the capability to overcome adversity. He believed it. This game, they had the opportunity to overcome adversity, but they didn't do it. And that's what they definitely need to get figured out, because they're going to be faced with adversity again, guys. Let's face it. This is not a team that's going to be blowing people out by 30 points going into the fourth quarter every week. Heck, 2 of their 3 wins where, you know, they had to win in the fourth quarter. So absolutely need to figure that out. And really my favorite line, and I think it's no truer words have ever been spoken, Juice, we're going to find a lot out about who we're working with here.
Yeah, they really are, man. It's look, you lose 3 straight after winning 3 straight. You know, my old high school coach used to say, you know, we're reading our own press clippings. I think we're feeling good about ourselves, a little too good about ourselves.
I sure as hell was.
I was too.
Yes,
we can do that as fans. We're allowed to do that, but as players, we can't do that.
Yeah,
it's really cliche-ish, but at the same time, though, you really got to get to 1-0 every single week. I tell my high school team that when I talk to them, you know, I was hoping the Dolphins would get me out of this doldrum that I had. My high school team lost on Friday. Penn State lost on Saturday. I knew my Dolphins would win today. It's a bad weekend for me when it comes to football, fellas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you are definitely bringing the saltiness here, and I don't blame you.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Are you not salty?
I'm salty as hell.
Okay, so why is that offensive?
I'm always salty, though.
You're not always
win,
salty.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm salty.
That's not fair.
But like I said,
but you're salty now.
Yeah.
But I think we all are.
You have to, no matter what, man, you have to show up and go to work. And our guys, man, had opportunities like we talked about. 2-3 losses we've had, we've been in every single fourth quarter we've been in these games. Every single fourth quarter we've had an opportunity, and we come up short. So what's our big takeaway from that? We got to find a way to finish.
Finish games, yeah.
Got to find a way to finish games, and we're not finding our way to finish games. And it's got to come somewhere from somebody, whether it's the offense picking it up and closing the game out, defense closing the game out, or somebody on teams doing something. We have to find a way to finish these games, because when you're in the fourth quarter, every team preaches about being in the game in the fourth quarter and giving yourself a chance to win. And we've done that. Now, when are we going to find out? When are we going to win these games? When are we going to win these games? Like, look,
next week.
We can go back to Baltimore. We put all those touchdowns up. Look, that's another way. We found a way to win that game. That against the incredible odds, we won that game. New England, we didn't have to worry about it as much in the New England game. You know what I mean? So we got to find a way to finish these games. When we're in these games, especially at home, I hate losing at home. So we got to find a way to win these games.
So I agree with that wholeheartedly, Juice, but I want to add to that and say this. I remember going all the way back to the Dave Wannstedt coach Miami Dolphins, and Mark Dixon used to say, you know, it's the same speech every week. Coach gets in there, and he says, we're going to have to win it in the fourth quarter. Defense, you're going to keep us in the game, and we're going to find a way to win in the fourth quarter. And he says, dang it, Coach, I kind of want to say we're going to come out there and kick somebody's ass today.
Yeah.
And, yes, we need to finish games. 100% we need to finish games. But, you know, I'm looking at this play-by-play in the first quarter and this drive where Skylar Thompson looks like you have the deal of the century, finding a guy in the seventh round, and you get penalty after penalty, five penalties on one drive. When you get the ball on their side of the field, you come away with 0 points when you have a chance to go up 7-0 at home, to your point. So there's a lot going on. We were really good from 30-yard line to 30-yard line today, Travis. There's a lot going on early in the game where it shouldn't even come down to the fourth quarter, Drew. So I'm with you. If it gets there, you got to find a way to finish and win. But maybe we could clean things up a little bit and not have to get to that point.
And in the start of the third quarter as well, it goes back to what McDaniel said about complimentary football. I mean, I was keeping track of it, Big Seth. Four drives, 15 yards for the Vikings. They didn't have a first down through the first four
drives
of the game.
Three and out the first two drives, so four 15 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable.
It was four in a row. It was four drives in a row. And then the second half, they started on two short fields because of a 25-yard punt return and a failed fake punt by the Miami Dolphins. So the defense gave you, at the start of the first start of the game, four consecutive three and outs, and then the start of the second half, two consecutive three and outs in a short field. The offense has to make up ground in 100%. that part of the game. So it's a four-quarter thing. It's just, and to be in it late is great, and like Juice said, to find a way to win would be even better, but man, it's something else every single week, it seems like, and to use the word that you love, Big Seth, a cavalcade of things you can point to correct and get better for next week.
Right,
that's
there,
the mayonnaise-type word. Let's go ahead and pause 10 seconds so our stations can ID themselves. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
WQAM Miami, WPOW HD2 Miami, WKIS HD2 Boca Raton, home of the Miami Dolphins. Powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys.
Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
We have the final segment of hour number one coming up next, including Teddy Bridgewater and Drive of the Game. All that's coming up here in just a few minutes. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Motors. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Vikings 24, Dolphins 16. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.
You're listening to Dolphins Football on the Miami Dolphins Radio Network.
The Porpoise Pod, the newest Miami Dolphins podcast, hosted by Tobin and Solana. Listen for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Miami Dolphins want to help you lock in a low mortgage rate. That's why AmeriSave is our official mortgage lender. Whether you want to refinance, get cash out, or purchase a new home, visit AmeriSave.com to lock in your low mortgage rate today. I like it when Juice does that one better. It sounds a little bit better to me when O.J. McDuffie's reading the ad read there. But guys, we've been talking a lot about some stuff that hasn't been so fun. I want to go ahead and spin to something positive here because, like we talked about, it's been a rough start to the year for the defense, and we saw a pretty high-powered Vikings attack with Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, and you know, at times Kirk Cousins as well, who post big numbers every single week, come down here and just really get stifled for the most part, you know, outside of a few short fields and takeaways, and you know, I think there was a hurry-up drive late in the first half. They scored a touchdown, capitalizing on some Dolphins mistakes on the offensive side of the football, but I think it's something to potentially be excited about aside from the return of some of the key guys, because, you know, I mentioned the 6-3 and outs. I think they had another one. If not, it was a couple of first downs after the Dolphins touchdown to make it a 6-point game. Defense gets right back out there, gets another stop. And again, those short fields were impressive. Two things I want to talk to you guys about and just kind of get your takes on them. Number one, Juice, literally the play before Needham got hurt. And by the way, without Nick Needham and Keon Crossan, you have to go. Justin Bethel's playing defense. I'm going to look it up. I don't think he's played defense in years.
I don't know, but he was game-ball worthy if they had come out with this, you know, the way he fielded those punts and everything else. Sorry, I don't want to give away
your
point.
No, you're good. I'm glad you did, because he made a huge – that was the play that I was talking about after the Dolphins' touchdown drive to make it a 6-point game. He gets a huge tackle on a 3rd-and-1 on a little try-to-pick route to the flat where he comes over the top and makes a tackle. So I thought he was good. I thought X, except for the one time that he got pinned – on that little wheel route from Justin Jefferson, was very good as well. And just the way they were communicating, you know, dealing with some of the bracket coverage and the bunches was really impressive. But the thing that really stood out to me in this game, obviously the run defense before the long touchdown run, but man, the pass rush. We've been asking for it for a while now. Yep. They got heated up today, guys. I don't know if you have a specific player in mind that comes to mind for you, but someone else want to just talk about the pass rush here, because I got several guys I could talk about.
Yeah, it was definitely a special day for those guys, man. They've been beat up. You know, we talked a lot about the lack thereof of a pass rush, and the guys got at them. And look, I mean, look at the numbers, man. You got a team that's been so prolific, and they end up with 156 yards net passing, and a lot of it has to do with pressure. You know, a lot of it has to do with pressure. We need that moving forward. We've got a quarterback today, though. We talked about this before. The quarterbacks we faced before were all guys that can get out and run and things like that. Kirk Cousins,
he wasn't going anywhere.
He's not that guy. So it's good that we finally got at somebody. Now, not a lot of big plays for them offensively on the pass game, but they didn't have to, because our team gave them the opportunities to make those plays in short fields, turnovers, and on downs, fake punts, and things like that. So. Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see these guys finally getting out there and getting after guys. Early in the game, you know, I saw Jalen Phillips getting after guys, and it's going to continue to get better and better and better. Dealing with quarterbacks we deal with, guys that potentially don't throw it on time, it's going to be our best opportunity. That was our detriment today. We didn't throw the ball on time. That's why we had problems. So it's tough these days to get the pressure. It's tough these days to get the sacks, because these quarterbacks are, especially a guy like Kirk Cousins, is good at getting the ball out in time, even with a free guy. But we were still able to get out there and get some pressure. So we got to give kudos to these guys for getting that, righting that ship. I don't put anything other than the fact that we didn't win. I don't put a lot of blame on our defense today. I can't. They did a hell of a job. Minus some guys we talked about going out of the game, guys that we count on, you know, in the secondary, Crossan, Needham. Those are tough losses for us. People might not recognize those names at times, but those are big losses for us. It's nice to see X out there. Look, Jefferson had a nice game, but most of it was one play.
Yeah.
And that's a guy, you know what I mean? So we've been talking about that all along, how our secondary has been getting beat up. But they had a hell of a day today. Up front, we had a hell of a day today. Short fields and lack of offensive efficiency is what killed us today, and it's unfortunate.
You mentioned Jalen Phillips in the pass rush. I thought he came to life today, man. The way he was bending that edge and just putting guys in their back, but also going inside Big Seth and getting pressure from that position. To me, him and Christian Wilkins and those back-to-back TFLs that he had after, again, another big punt return where the Dolphins are faced with a short field. You're thinking, man, if the Vikings can just get one first down and kick a field goal here, we got a long way to go to come back. But Wilkins responds with a 6-yard TFL, then a 1-yard TFL, and they eventually get off the field. So I don't know if there's anyone that you want to talk about, Big Seth, but the defensive line up front today was something.
Well, I was the front seven, because you can't ignore Landon Roberts. Sure. I mean, he played – was quintessential in Landon Roberts, right? He had the sack and a half, the 7 tackles. He, you know, short yardage, he's always going to make those plays. And I think if he ever gets criticized for anything, it's maybe what happens when he's out in space and in coverage. But you just didn't see that happen today. And, and that's for everybody. The entire front seven, I thought, collectively played really well. But look, I'm the first guy that here and says, no, I don't want to hear about it. You have to get pressure with your front four or your front seven. You can't, you know, I don't want to see exotic blitzes. I love exotic blitzes, but I recognize that we're just decimated in the secondary right now, and so they had to maybe play more, you know, base or regular, and they got that pressure. So that was encouraging, but they got to carry it over. Have we seen, you know, played six games. I don't know what's been consistent from week to
week. Correct. Who are we? It, yeah. What's our identity, yeah. right?
You know what's consistent? Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, the cheetah is going to eat. You know, Jalen Waddle is going to get yards.
Two plays.
It was a tough game for him today, but that is not what you expect from him, and I don't think that's what you're going to see consistently. Those two guys consistently are a threat. It's changing the way defenses are playing against us, but as you said, we've got to find other ways to exploit defenses.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Juice's point about the athletic mobile quarterbacks is the big one, because, you know, the guys they've played so far, they are known for making plays. That's what they do. It's why they get paid, you know, $250 million guaranteed contracts, because they're the most important players in this league. And that's what Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow have done in their career. So they've proven that. And until, you know, they prove otherwise, you kind of have to just say, well, tip your hat sometimes. But today with Kirk Cousins, not the case. We get Kenny Pickett next week in the Pittsburgh Steelers. After that, it starts to kind of calm down in terms of your athletic quarterback. So perhaps a chance to develop some consistency. I told you guys I was going to look it up here. Justin Bethel, those were the first 13 snaps he played this year on defense. Last year he played 55. In 2020 he played 2 on defense. In 2019 he played 20 snaps on defense. So we're talking about a guy that's played less than 100 snaps over the last 4 years coming in and having an impact as a cornerback. That was cool to see, and it speaks to the next man up mentality. Exactly right, Juice. We're going to go ahead and take a break here and come back for hour number 2. Antennas up, game on. Score your favorite games and shows for free. Visit the freetvproject.org to learn all about the free programming waiting for you, including Dolphins games. That's freetvproject.org. Dolphins postgame driven by Gunther Motors as well. For car buying done your way, you've got to get to Gunther Kia. Again, the final score from Hard Rock Stadium, Vikings 24, Dolphins 16. You're listening to the Miami Dolphins Radio Network, brought to you by the Palm Beaches.